Let's hear the word of the Lord as found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For the reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
And the Lord bless the reading of his word. I can do anything far more than you could even imagine, request, or guess in your wildest dreams, working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Another translation. There was this little girl, 5 years old. Her name was Megan. Now, Megan was terrified of monsters, and one lived under her bed. So what was she to do? Well, unlike other generations before her, a simple story from mom and dad weren't going to be good enough. So Megan had to do something about that monster under her bed. So she went to the computer and, using a software package for children, she told her story about that scary monster who lived under her bed. Now, she wanted it to go away. She solved a problem. Using that software, she put the monster under her brother's bed. Now, Megan included in this story pictures of herself and her bed and her brother and the monster. And she saved it. And then she decided, you know, I'll go on the bulletin board and I'll put it there so kids around the globe can also read it. Well, a CD-ROM magazine called Nautilus picked it up and published it. There were these two business consultants, Stan Davis and Jim Botkin, and they wrote, here is this 5-year-old girl who has accomplished all of the major tasks of movie making. Megan was the star, wrote the screenplay, created the visuals, did the editing, was producer, director, even did her own distribution. Her learning was integrated into the realities of her life. But to her, it was all play. It should make my son Dean a little bit more humble, I would think. For those of you who don't know, he's vice president of MGM. Well, the children who heard that story about Megan this morning probably said, oh, story. Because today's children are fearless. They're fun-loving, and they're full of curiosity. They can go to that computer. I remember our little 3-year-old taking Grandma by the hand, sitting on the pile of telephone books, going to the computer and starting it off saying, here, Grandma. We adults can still, however, stand amazed at the technological advances that have occurred in our lifetime. We can still get excited by a rocket launch, or watching those astronauts going around that space station, or even watching the universe through a space station telescope. We're in an awe factor when it comes to the MKs, the millennial kids, because they work those VCRs that still have, you know, some of us still have it blinking 12 o'clock. There's computers with internet and modems and uplinks and email and Facebook, iPods, iPads, iPhones, iWatch, joining the billion people who the other day was on Facebook all at one time. Today's kids help adults function in the electronic culture. One educator suggested our kids today have their brains wired differently than their parents. That's one excuse. We're learning to think on many different levels all at the same time. Now, I used to make our kids turn off the TV in order to study. What did I know? They can see multiple tasks, interrelated processes, Visualize solutions that lie many steps ahead of where they are. This is the vision that technologically inspired that permits children today to move beyond our one step at a time, one problem at a time mentality. The prophet Amos reminded us, I have raised up some of your children to be prophets. Stephen and Andrea Levin, in Embracing the Beloved, told the story of their three-year-old. They had a new baby brother. And over a period of a few months, every once in a while, this three-year-old daughter would ask if she could be alone for a few minutes with her new little brother. Well, after checking with the pediatrician and all the other people, they said, okay, you can go visit. So they let her go in there, but of course they ran and went to the intercom to make sure what was going on. They heard her enter the room and close the door and walk over to the crib, and she said, baby, baby, tell me about God. I think I'm forgetting. Children know what's important about life. This morning we come into the presence of Almighty God for a teachable moment, to hear anew the gospel, the good news, the call. Paul spelled it out. But down on your knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who has parceled out all of heaven and all of earth. Be strengthened in your life by this glorious inner strength. Christ lives in you as you open the door and invite him in. With your both feet planted in love, take that extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Test the length of his love. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives in the fullness of God. The late former White House Press Secretary Tony Snow was afflicted with cancer, undergoing chemo. And he wrote, the life of belief teems with thrills, boldness, danger, shocks, reversals, triumphs, epiphanies. And when our faith flags, God throws reminders in our way. Think of the prayer warriors in our midst, he said. They change things. And those of us who are on the receiving end of petitions and intercessions know it. It's hard to describe, he went on, but there are times when suddenly the hair on the back of the head seems to stand up and you feel a sudden surge of the Spirit. And somehow you know that someone has chosen, when talking to the author of all creation, to lift you up, to speak to you. It's love of a special order. The mere thought of death somehow makes every blessing vivid, every happiness more intense. Now, we may not know how our contest with sickness will end, but we have felt the touch of God. We know this. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter how bleak or frightening our prospects, each and every one of us, each and every day, lies in the same safe, impregnable place, in the hollow of God's hand. Tony joined the company of hosts singing God's glory. But isn't that the message today? Above all this din of sin, greed, opulence, decadence, all the stuff you saw on the screen, women get most naked amongst the celebrities. The underwear runs in Central Park publicizing panties. Selling LeBron's home in Miami for multi-millions. A gyration of stock market confounding pundits. To this world which is filled with cleverness without conviction, brilliance without hope, beauty without joy, truth without depth, is the Spirit of Almighty God offering us a peace that passes all of our human understanding. For the gospel message is clear. The kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus called for repentance, called for others to follow. And then Jesus withdrew to pray. Our task today is to remember God's concerns for God's world, not ours. Our calling is to remain faithful to Christ through prayer, to seek that inner strengthening through a glorious Spirit. Is God listening? Does God hear our prayers? Does God answer our prayers? Evangelist Louis Palau suggests there are five ways God answers prayers. First, God answers, no, I love you too much. You see, sometimes God says no to our heartfelt requests. How did you discover that? A loved one is suffering, and we pray that God spare him. A loved one is injured, someone unexpectedly dies, and we pray to save him. It happens to the most devout people. And why? Because we live in a fallen world. Can any good ever come from no? Joseph said to his brothers, do not be distressed. God sent me before you to preserve life. It is not you who sent me here, but God. Second, God answers, yes, but you're going to have to wait. Well, this is a culture enamored with the instant. We don't want to wait for anything or anybody. Have you ever been put on hold? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Drives you crazy. This little ditty keeps coming back out again. If we wait upon the Lord, the answer will come. In Matthew, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Patience. And third, yes, but it's not what you expected. Well, with all of the trading going on in the sports world today, and the firings and all that stuff, it was interesting to read David Price's story in the paper, where he moved from the Tigers to the Jays. It was occurring in an anxious locker room, and there was doom and gloom waiting for the word from Dombrowski. Trade it. Expect the unexpected. He loves Toronto, and I love him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, for in all ways acknowledge him. God will make your path straight. The fourth answer, yes, and there's more. Do you really think God knows what you want, what you need? Well, he tells the story of David Smallbone. He felt called by God to promote Christian concerts. So he had this elaborate one, something like what's going to happen over at Ford Field, only this was in Australia. He lost all his money, $250,000. So he had to come home and tell his family what had happened. They all prayed. And suddenly his 15-year-old daughter Rebecca received a recording contract. He now promotes his daughter, Rebecca St. James, considered one of the top Christian singers in the world. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, wrote Jeremiah. And the first answer is yes. I thought you'd never ask. I like that one. I was on my way home from the 45-minute trip. It was one of those churches I had to take over again. And it was in Idaho Falls, and I was 45 minutes away. There was a snowstorm, but I was determined to get home. The car wasn't. So there I was on the side of the road in a snowstorm, and realistically, people had stayed home like they're supposed to. I saw lights on the other side of the freeway coming, and all of a sudden, I could see in my side view mirror that the car had come across the median, rolled up. It was a police car. And he took me in, and he let me make phone calls, and he stayed with me until the record got there. And, you know, was it a coincidence? The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Well, the biggest surprise was who's righteous. We're people who live in the midst of a world despairing and filled with tyranny, oppression, and fear. But we have this wonderful story to tell. My friend Alan Bosack, the church leader in South Africa, in the darkest of hours, called upon the church to affirm truth. It is not true that this world and its inhabitants are doomed to die and be lost. This is true. For God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten Son. It is not true we must accept inhumanity, hunger, poverty, death, and destruction. This is true. I have come that you might have life. It is not true that violence and hatred shall have the last word. This is true. Unto us a son is given. It is not true that dreams of justice, human dignity, and peace are not meant for this earth and this time. This is true. The hour comes, and is now, when worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. My friends, Jesus Christ is the life of this world. The center of our authority is Christ, and our authority is demonstrated love. While we have to rely on our five-year-olds to get programs on the computer, we cannot abdicate adulthood. When confronted by MTV, Beavis and Butthead, or Comedy Central, we must say, you have gone too far. There is no creativity in that which is rude, crude, and vulgar. And we do know pornography when we see it almost every day. We need the freshness of the insights of our children and youth, but our children need to hear the wisdom of experience. We need to learn new ways to process information, but our children need to be protected from too much too soon. We need to hear our children voice the plight of this earth, but we need to help them listen for the voice of their souls. Baby, baby, tell me about God. I think I've almost forgotten. We need our children to help us see our similarities. We need to help them discern between good and evil. Friends, by our faith, slaves can be freed, oppressors can be brought down, the poor can be assisted, the ill healed, little children made to laugh and sing, and the timid able to face death with joy. If our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what can we stand against us? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God is our healer. Awesome power, our God. Our God.